Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Well, Lee, things are going exactly as I predicted they would. Breaking news, headline, media very excited about this. U.S. economy shrank 0.3% in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Is Trump policy uncertainty weighed on businesses? No, that's a literal crock.
Yeah.
That is an absolute literal. And here's the thing. As soon as Trump was elected, in fact, that night, when we were at, I think it's Tommy Bahamas, when we were there, I said they were going to do this. Literally, the returns were coming in. And I actually talked this over with my husband, and I said, you know what? There's going to be an economic disaster. They have been hiding and lying about these numbers. We already knew about the 800,000 fake jobs, right? They had no good economic stats. So they just literally made up jobs out of nowhere and then revised them down later after they didn't need them anymore for the election. And I said, they're going to revise down all these stats and tell us the truth. And I wanted to start predicting it before the election. My husband said, no, people won't vote. Don't tell them. So I was like, okay. Can I tell him what's the returns come in?
Yeah, he's probably right.
Yeah. And he said, I'm afraid they won't vote, you know, because once they understand, I was like, you know, there's a 95% want to win this election, but the 5% of me that's scary is that there's going to be a massive crash and Trump's going to get the blame for it. We're going to get the blame for it. Trumpnomics is going to get the blame for it because they have been lying this whole time with these numbers. And all of these agencies, especially the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that is as much a captured agency as the FBI, is going to begin simply adjusting their way to the truth. And here we go. U.S. economy shrank 0.3% in the first quarter. Okay, just stop for a minute. Okay. And they're counting on you not knowing this. Trump wasn't even sworn in till January was almost over, okay?
I was just waiting for you to mention that, yeah.
That was the 20th of January, all right? So basically, you know, the third of the quarter is gone. He's still measuring the drapes, okay? You don't tank a whole economy in 8 weeks. I don't care what you did with the tariffs. Yeah. Folks, they didn't even, the bulk of these tariffs did not even roll out or go into effect, vast majority of them, till the 2nd of April. Folks, it's only the 30th of April.
Well, if it's the first quarter, that's January, February, March, right?
Right.
Okay.
Good point. Yeah. So, I mean, what they're counting on is people think, oh, yeah, Trump took office in, 2025. Yes, the 20th day of January. This is absolute crock-alicious. But I said this was coming in November. Mm-hmm. And what happened? This is what they did. I said this was coming. The Atlanta Federal Reserve came out in December and said, Joe Biden is amazing. And they said this in the beginning of January, too. Guess what? We have a 3.9% growth rate. That would be huge if we had that. Almost four, right? I mean, that'd be enormous. And the day it came out, I mocked it. I said, that is so fake. I said, the second Trump is sworn in on the 20th, they're going to start adjusting that down. And sure enough, within 2 weeks of Trump being sworn in, I did a whole Battleground podcast on this. We went to a 2.5% growth rate. Oh, yeah, forecasting 2.5. Within a few weeks of that, they went to a negative 0.5% growth rate forecast. from 4 to negative 0.5 in 8 weeks? Are you kidding me? That's crazy. But what they needed was the talking point. Here's what they're going to say. And I said this at the time. You're all going to go on CNBC, Fox Business, you know, but wow, Biden left Trump a 4% growth rate. Look, he screwed it up. In 8 weeks, before he ever even announced the tariffs again, as you're saying, Lee, you're right. March was the end of that quarter. That's ridiculous. And I'm going to play. I'm going to cut the audio then. I'm going to come in tomorrow. They're going to blame the tariffs again. Tariffs didn't even go into effect till April 2nd. Yep. They weren't even fully announced till April 2nd.
Yep.
And they're going to blame the tariffs and pretend that that happened in that quarter and it did.
Yeah.
So GDP goes negative in quarter one, and they're going to call this the first quarter of the recession. What have I been saying? I've been saying that we were in recession last quarter, okay? They lied and covered it up, is what they did. And that if you notice, they stopped talking about this. We learned even before the election that 800,000 of the jobs were fake. After the election, they adjusted the numbers again. And we found out actually it was 1.5 million fake jobs. Here's economist Peter St. Onge from this fall after the election. Okay, so they're beginning to admit, yeah, we're adjusting it back. We lied about the economic stats to cover for Biden.
Now that the election is over, Joe Biden's minions are letting the terrifying economic data out of his statistical gimp box. Last week, the Philly Fed flagged yet another massive jobs revision, estimating in a new study that jobs actually fell in Q2 of this year, so that's April to June. That contrasts with official numbers claiming 653,000 jobs were created in those very same 3 months. In other words, we could be looking at another massive revision, possibly 700,000 in fake jobs, brought to you by the finest statisticians government money can buy.
That's 700,000, Lee. That was on top of the fake 800,000 for a total of 1.5 million fake jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've seen adjustments, and people always text me, but people, they adjust it every month. Yeah, they do, but it usually is, it's only by a few thousand. It usually goes up sometimes, down sometimes.
Right.
It doesn't go straight up by 1.5 million. I mean, that's because it was fake. Here's Peter St. Onge talking about how the media was getting ready for this before Trump was even sworn in.
You can be guaranteed the legacy media will pretend none of these problems existed until Trump showed up. They're already chomping at the bit. A few days ago, New Republic ran an article called, quote, "We're already seeing signs that Trump is tanking the economy. There will be much more to come."
I actually heard someone talking on a podcast about this the other day, and they were saying, look, the Trump people, the insiders were... look, they already knew that they were going to get nailed for this recession that was already going on. They were lying about. And they said, you know what? Might as well just go ahead and get the tariffs done because we're going to go into a recession no matter what. You know, you don't want to have two.
Right.
Let us get out of the recession and then do the tariffs later. And now there's a second recession. Let's just go ahead and get it done. We're going to get the blame anyway. We might as well take it on the chin. And I bet, yeah, you know what? That's exactly what they're doing. But boy, it's risky.
Like I said in a previous hour here, he's got a much smarter staff around him this time.
Yes, he does. They knew this was coming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you knew it was coming talked about it here before the election.
Yeah. The report provided cross signals from the Fed, including two key inflation indicators, both higher than expected. So basically they're saying like a little more inflation than we thought. In other words, inflation ticking back up. They're going to pretend this is because of the tariffs that were not even in place yet. Because that wouldn't happen until April. This only goes through March. You watch. They're going to lie about all of this. And the people who are going to come on the television are going to have PhDs from Ivy League schools. And they're going to say things so dumb, your head is going to spin off its swivel. Like the tariffs caused inflation. No, they did not. They weren't even announced till the next quarter. This is for this quarter, as you said.
Congress and the Fed are the ones responsible for this.
I know. They are. See, and this is what I said last year, too, when Mike the Knife was going crazy, printing like a fool with the Democrats going into December. I said, this is going to cause inflation. Trump's going to get blamed for it. Republicans need to stop passing Biden's budget. In fact, the idea that we were even passing anything with the Democrats at that point was ridiculous. And what we were passing was Nancy Pelosi's bloated budget. We could have just waited till we came into office. But no, Mike had to jam it down our throats.
The nonstop continuing resolution.
Yeah, and look, this is not going to get better. It's not. I mean, I can't believe where we are in politics right now, that Ralph Norman is an evil dude and Chip Roy is an evil dude for pointing out, hey, we're going to have massive, you know, ongoing inflation if we continue to break the record for printing by passing Nancy Pelosi's budget again. And they are demonized, torn apart as traitors, rhinos even. I'm like, what? I never thought I'd live to see the day where a conservative who says we can't do this without reaping the whirlwind, the inflation that this printing is going to cause, and you are threatened with primary, call it a rhino, and, you know, just absolutely ostracized. So, you know, look, Trump's going to take some of the blame for this. He's not shied away from the big spending. And look, I was hoping that he would use rescission to take this back. In other words, let Congress pass their nasty, big, bloated bill, and then he would use the rescission process, which requires, you know, 51% of the vote in the House, 51 votes in the Senate, and he would just cut it that way from the Doge cuts. But this morning, he's walking around saying, I may not cut everything Doge cut. Well, dude, those were the only cuts. So, okay, you're going to own the inflation then. We'll see. But this was always coming. And look, Bessent and Trump have been very clearly that this, the tariff restructuring of the world economy, this is a 2 to 3 year project.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hear that, I grit my teeth. I think, well, what, just in time for the Democrats to take office and take credit for a great economy. But anyway.
Well, the thing is, if this had not been started, the results would be even worse than what
we're
fixing
to do. Yeah, we have to do
with.
This. Yeah. We have no choice. You cannot run deficits as big as we are in the budget and run a trade deficit simultaneously. That is, you know, you're just asking for a financial extinction level event long term. We can't keep doing it. So let's see what to. Yeah, okay, German inflation dipping. Well, it looks like our indicators are going up. I don't know. There's mixed messages there, and I'm going to have to get more information because the producer price index was actually negative. So that means that would indicate a shrinking of inflation. So I don't know how they reconcile that. I got to get all this data. But we knew this was coming. Trump is going to take one heck of a beat down. You know what this is going to do, too? It's going to provide an excuse for people like Rand Paul in the Senate to try to stop Trump's tariffs. They'll pretend that the tariffs caused this. It's a storyline.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Okay, there's some good news here. Just Picking through this data, we're getting negative GDP, negative growth. So this will be logged as the first quarter of the recession. As I've said, it's not. We had one last quarter. They just lied. And I'll be able to prove that to you eventually. They will readjust the statistics. We'll eventually know that we were in a recession last quarter too. But that probably won't be for another, you know, couple more quarters. No one will care by that. But these are captured agencies. I never believe the numbers. When a Democrat's in office, and then they just readjust it to tell you the truth. And they wanted Trump to inherit this, and they're going to say he caused a recession. Some of the things to note, the negative GDP. And again, Lee and I were just talking about this. This is all going to get blamed on the tariffs, and they'll say, oh, wait. And as Lee was pointing out, well, we didn't even announce the tariffs till April 2nd. And the quarter ended in March, end of March. But here's the thing. This is from Zero Hedge. The decrease in real GDP, so basically that's the economy, in the first quarter primarily reflected an increase in imports. That was people just importing extra, anticipating the tariffs. I'm going to, you know, get more inventory than I normally would and basically stack at my warehouse because it's going to be cheaper once the tariffs hit. So an increase in imports, which are a subtraction in the calculation of GDP, and a decrease in government spending, which is good. We like it. But look what's happening here. It's exactly what I told you would happen. When they started going crazy, getting drunk and going crazy on the funny money print machine, and it spit out all those dollars, it just supplants normal economic activity. In other words, it just erases it with fake money, which is why you don't want to print a lot of money, because once you print it once, you have to print it every single year. If you don't, you will just lose that part of GDP, and it looks like a collapse. And that's what happened here. There was actually a small downturn in government spending. And so, and while that is good, and we hope it continues, you're going to see it in the GDP numbers. They're going to go negative. So not all bad here. Those movements were partially offset. And this is the good news, because they were saying it was going to come in negative 1.5 to negative 2.7. I mean, that's crushing. And it did it. They're saying negative 0.3. These movements were partially offset by increases. And this is what you want to see. Increases in investment, consumer spending, and exports. So look, the underlying fundamentals here are actually weird and good, not negative. In other words, they're not what you want to, you know, they're not what the media is going to tell you in the next couple of days. People are closing their wallets, they're terrified of Trump. Trump sucks. Trump did this, blah, blah. No, these are just some really weird things going on. Plus, you had that massive firing of, you know, people who work for the federal government. Over 200,000 of those were fired. And, you know, that's just been Trump's been in office. That's going to affect the spending as well. And still, you saw increases in investment, consumer spending, and exports. So there's actually good news fundamentally here going forward. The media is going to spin it and talk it down. People will shut their wallets. So increase in imports. And you know what? They're going to trumpet that too. They'll say, oh, increase in imports. Look, Trump's failing. Wait, again, that was for January, February, March. The Liberation Day was April 2nd. So... this was always coming. Look, the good news is, and I started forecasting it in the fall, the good news that they would begin telling the truth about the economy the second Trump got in office. They did exactly as I told you, so this was always coming. It was always going to happen, and it's not as bad as we thought. But I mean, you go on Drudge and they would have you think the end is nigh. They say ADP reports weakest job growth since July 2024. We'll see how this goes. I'm literally analyzing this as it's coming out. But we did have the negative GDP. Let's go to the text line and see what the people think. 800-905-0989. An accessory after the fact is a person who assists somebody who has already committed a crime, knowing that the crime has been committed with the intent to help the offender avoid arrest or punishment. This can include actions like providing shelter or financial support to the criminal after the crime has occurred. Oh, probably talking about the judge in Wisconsin. Another texter writes, hey, Terry, you have to trust that Trump is playing chess while others are playing checkers. He always seems steps ahead. Another texter writes, the USA is no longer a nation. We are a giant multi-ethnic boarding house, a great commercial zone for the masses of the earth. We are not a nation. I disagree. A sign you're not a nation is you can't take your nation back. We took it back in 2024. Texter writes, what are we going to do after Trump? That's my thoughts. He's one of a kind. What he's done and doing is once in a lifetime, truly historic. He's amazing. Look, I'll go back and tell you this now. Me and Bobby Mack was still here. And right before the Trump election, which we didn't think he could beat her. Remember, he was down in the polls. We came to the conclusion in the hallway. It was all over. We didn't tell you guys. It was done. We were finished. And boy, were we not. So much history left to be written. So I'm not worried about it. I'm trying to get through now. Anything can happen. Texter writes, Tara, no further inflation. Food, fuel, energy is down. That's a fact. Inflation on Inauguration Day was 3% or more. Today it's down to 2.4%. Don't listen to the moronic legacy media. Yeah, and what they're doing, the way they're spinning that is, well, there's two inflation indicators that are elevated. Of course, they're not talking about producer price index, which is down. Meaning that tells you, okay, factories, what they're paying is less for stuff they're using right now. That means it'll, a few months, we'll see. I hope you're right. Texter writes, crockalicious is my new favorite word. I invented that. Do you like it? Thanks. That makes me proud. I can add something of value to this world. Texter writes, Did you know that the size of the normal human forehead, I'm not sure what prompted this text. Did you know the size of the normal human forehead is indicative of a person's intelligence? In most cases, Judge Napolitano equals what? I don't know. I understand that. I go look at my forehead here at the break. I'll go measure it. I'll be right back. She's at it again. Michelle Obama. Most unhappy woman on the planet. I don't know why. She's one of the luckiest. Grows up in a two-parent, solidly middle-class family. Gets to go to Princeton, even though she admits she really didn't qualify to go there. Winds up married to Barack, has two beautiful children, and then stumbles into the Oval Office as the First Lady. You think she'd be excited about this, but no. Her suffering is, well, legendary. This is a woman who got a job at a hospital, Make State Hospital, making more than $100,000. Did she work her way up? No. It was given to her by a donor after Barack Obama won his state house seat. You'd think she'd be happy. The woman lives in a mansion on Martha's Vineyard. You'd think she'd be happy, but no. Now she's built an entire podcast around her suffering. And folks, I think she does this on purpose. She knows the left loves it when she talks about how she suffers. And oh, how she suffers.
We don't articulate as Black women our pain because it's almost like nobody ever gave us permission to do that.
Well, you're doing it right now. Nobody gave us permission to do that? Has she ever heard of a Karen? There's actually a word in the English language mocking white women's pain. Do they have a word? Do they have an equivalent for Black women? No, they do not. No, they do not. Anyway, her suffering while in the White House was unparalleled, as she explains on her podcast. I don't know how she was able to get through this and do this for us.
I have believed in therapy my whole life, mm-hmm. You know, done couples therapy with my husband. What happened that 8 years mm-hmm. that we were in the White House. What did that do to me?
Yes.
Internally, my soul, we made it through. We got mm-hmm. out alive. I hope we made the country proud. My girls, thank God, are whole. But what happened to me?
Oh, thank God. I hope she's okay. I mean, poor thing had to serve as your first lady, have all her personal chef and, oh, yeah, motorcade, whole thing. I don't know how she got through. I mean, I would hope the girls are okay. But no, that didn't stop her.
We don't articulate as Black women our pain because it's almost like nobody ever gave us permission to do that.
And does anyone care?
Yeah, there's that.
Well, they care.
If we knew, I think we would care. If we knew. Mm-hmm. If we knew.
Or, you know, yeah. And we have to ask ourselves, the men in our lives is, you know, why wait to be asked? Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like what we go through is pretty obvious. I mean, maybe we're not complaining, but we're actually living life out loud, you know? Mm-hmm.
Folks, this is just two episodes of her podcast, which I hear is insufferable. So the poor thing, I don't know how she got through her time in the Oval Office, poor baby. I can't imagine her suffering. I can't imagine being condemned to a life like that as First Lady. But then this was a woman who told us not once but twice on the campaign trail how she had never in her life been proud of her country. Not even when somebody who was actually qualified to go to Princeton was brushed aside so she could attend.
And let me tell you something. For the first time in my adult life, I am proud of my country because it feels like hope is finally making a comeback.
She was so hard-pressed to find actual examples of the suffering, she says, that she is completely beset with. She had to go all the way back to Princeton. Listen to her suffering there. Did you get to go to Princeton? I didn't get to go to Princeton.
We couldn't walk around saying valedictorian, straight A student, has excellent diction if you give them a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew very early on that no one was going to see beyond the color of our skin at an early age. And that could get you in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about that fear, I'm sure that fear has been tested across your life. And I wonder, what would you say has been the most hardest recent test of that fear?
Oh, you got to hear this. Because she walks around because she's very miserable. She's got to have the counseling, as she explained, to get through her Oval Office experience, which was really terrible. She, you know, she didn't know how her kids would make it. They went to Ivy League schools too. But the suffering, I'm sure, is unparalleled. And so he's asking her, well, you know, you're constantly beset with this fear, Michelle. What are you afraid of now? Oh, this is priceless.
Well, in this current climate for me, it's, you know, what's happening to immigrants. You know, so it's not the fear for myself anymore. I drive around in a 4-car motorcade with a police escort.
Oh, thank God she's
Michelle
okay.
Michelle Obama.
Okay.
I do still worry about my daughters in the world, even though they are somewhat recognizable. So my fears are for what I know is happening out there in streets all over the city. And now that we have leadership that is sort of indiscriminately determining who belongs and who doesn't, and we know that those decisions aren't being made with courts and with due process, and, you know, that it's being made like this cop that pulled my brother over when he was 12. You don't look like somebody that belongs. You know, I can determine just by looking at you that you're, you know, you're a good person or you're not a good person. And knowing that there's so much bias and so much racism and so much ignorance that fuels those kind of choices, I worry for people of color all over this country. And I don't know that we will have the advocates to protect everybody. And
honey,
that makes
your husband deported 3 million people. What the heck? Oh my gosh. Folks, you should see the text line. It's priceless. You know what? I think, you know whose happiness I really worry about? Not her. No, I don't care. Barack Obama. He should have just go ahead and drop kick this woman. How can he stand that around the clock? You know what? He needs to get rid of her. Just go find a man he can be happy with and just ride off into the sunset or have someone drive him. I guess she's got a driver, she says. Oh, her pain. Poor thing. Poor thing. So, you know, the good news here, if her suffering was that unparalleled, we probably can't have her back in the White House again. We'd be so lucky to have her there. Of course, we could hear her complain for 8 years. You know what the good news is there? Sounds like she's too miserable to run for office, which is fabulous because the left buys this stuff, lock, stock, and barrel.
We don't articulate as Black women our pain because it's almost like nobody ever gave us permission to do that.
And does anyone care?
Yeah, there's
that. Well, they care.
If we knew, I think we would care. If we knew.
Mm-hmm.
If we knew.
Or, you know, yeah. And we have
to see, I know. Do I care? No. No, I don't. I was just reading this at the break when you sent it to me on the text line headline. This just broke in the last 5 days. This is Wall Street Journal. The Obamas' former summer home lists for $39 million.
He don't articulate as Black women our pain because it's almost like nobody ever gave us permission to do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, they only bought that for $11.7 million. So, I mean, I can't imagine the pay there of making that, what's going to end up be after fees, $25 million? I mean, the taxes would make you cry. So there's that. But this woman is ridiculous. She's ridiculous. Texter writes, poor guy has four multi-million dollar mansions. Yes, those are not their only props. That was just the summer home. I don't know. Texter writes, victimhood pays. No, she's just doling out what the left loves. She knows what they love. They want her to hate her country with a passion like they do.
And let me tell you something. For the first time in my adult life, I am proud of my country because it feels like hope is finally making a comeback.
Texter writes, hey, Tara, she suffered almost as much as Kurt Cobain. Yeah. Not quite at the J.D. Vance level. But yeah, I could see. Texter writes, no one cares about you, Michelle, you narcissist. Now the texter writes, ooh, more evidence a woman will complain no matter what? Now the texter writes, nobody gives me permission to complain or laugh or cry either. Yeah, you just do that. That's how it works. Texter writes, that ticks me off, pretend, whatever the narrative of the elite media, including Michelle Obama's pontification of her struggles, shameful. Now the texter writes, that's her M.O. Now the texter writes, Michelle is a true liberal, as all liberals are miserable. It's a requirement to being a liberal. Now, you know what she's doing here? She's providing them with what they want. Which is, again, she hates America. But what they want to know is that no matter how rich, wealthy, fabulously famous you become as a Black woman, that still you suffer. Why? Because it is a vindication of their view that America sucks. America sucks. That's where that's why they eat this stuff up. She knows it and she feeds it to them. Again, this is a woman who got accepted in an Ivy League school that by her own admission, she did not deserve to go to. She's still complaining about Princeton in this. Well, she's complaining about college and people looked at me like I didn't belong there. Well, you said it. She's in Princeton. Who cares? Her parents are solid middle class. First lady. What more does this woman want? She's just set to make $25 million on her vacation home. I mean, not only she never had to live a life, like I said, like J.D. Vance, he came from true poverty. This dude never complained. Served his country instead of saying he was ashamed of it. You know what I think? Why don't we just admit she'd have needed therapy? no matter what. She ain't right. But she's typical liberal women.